Well, I'm honored Kevin asked me to introduce our very special guest this morning, and it is quite an honor and a privilege to do so. We've had a fabulous women's conference this past couple of days with just incredible ministry and teaching all around, and the Lord just showed up and definitely moved, and the Holy Spirit impacted several lives. And we had a fabulous time with Dr. Caroline Leaf as well, ministering. And so, gentlemen, I'm so sorry. I know that you were incredibly jealous and you missed out, but we were just thought, you know, we can't let you miss out on all of the fun as well. And so we wanted to bring Dr. Caroline Leaf to all of our weekend services as well so that all of us can enjoy the ministry, because it's such a powerful, powerful opportunity. And, you know, just a little bit that we've had an opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Leaf and Mac, her husband. I just have fallen in love with them and who they are as individuals, and they just have such beautiful hearts, and you can see that just comes out of them, and they love Jesus so much, and they truly care about ministering to you and the Word of God coming forth to you, which is just so refreshing to see. And so it's truly an honor to have them here, to have them with us, to minister in this house. And so just so you kind of understand a little bit of the quality of individual that is about to come and share with you and the influence that God has given her all over the world, I'm going to read her bio to you. And this is just a snippet of what the Lord's been doing and where he's been sending her. But I just want you to understand who this individual is. Since 1985, Dr. Caroline Leaf, a communication pathologist and audiologist, has worked in the area of cognitive neuroscience. She specialized in traumatic brain injury and learning disabilities, focusing on the science of thought as it pertains to thinking and learning. She developed a theory and did some of the initial research back in the 1990s showing how the mind can change the brain. She applied the findings of her research in clinical practice for nearly 25 years and now lectures and preaches globally. She's a prolific author and has been a featured guest of Joyce Meyer, James Robison, Marilyn Hickey, Sid Roth, TBN, and many more that aren't even listed on here. She has her own show on TBN called Switch on Your Brain. Her passion is to help people see the link between science and scripture as a tangible way of controlling their thoughts and emotions, learning how to think and learn, and finding their sense of purpose in life. Caroline and her husband, Mac, live in Dallas, Texas with their four children. Would you please help me welcome Dr. Caroline Leaf and her husband, Mac?
Last night I said we were honored to stand before you, and the same applies this morning, because this is what we do throughout the year. And we go around, and God is very gracious and kind to invite us to different churches. And I'm happy to report that we've been around the world, and Jesus is still the Lord. Amen. Even in Paris. I was in Paris recently. I took my son there. We have a father-son 5 days there. He was going off to college. And we went around all the different places. And it's a beautiful city, the city of love. So it's very unfortunate what happened. But I think it's your prayers are the most important thing, because when you're praying tribe or nation or race, things change in the atmosphere. So hang in there. There are churches that are growing there. Mainly the immigrant communities are the ones that are starting the churches and so on. And they're very dynamic and they're growing. So your prayers really count for that beautiful city of love. So thank you. Thank you for putting that forward for your people to bring in their prayer time. We're staying just up the road in Wisconsin, and well, I don't know why, but it's the borders over there. I said to Caroline, we're speaking in Illinois, we're staying in Wisconsin. And I notice, there's a lot of blondes in Wisconsin. And I think blondes have had a bad press, you know. So it reminded me of this blonde who walks into the bank in New York City and said she wanted to borrow $5,000. And the guy said, what's your collateral? So she dropped the keys of a Mercedes SLK 350 on the table. And she wanted the $5,000, so she was going overseas. So they drove the car underneath the garage, and when she had gone, they all had a big laugh. I mean, such a lot of collateral for such a little lot of money. So she came back 2 weeks later from overseas, and they presented a bill of interest was $15.41. And she paid back the money and the interest. And they said, we've been checking you out while you're gone. You're a millionaireess. Why did you want to borrow the money? She says, where else can you park in New York City for $15.41 and still get your car?
Good one. You didn't expect that, did you? See, good joke, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when I, you know, us girls, we're always changing hair color, and I used to be very blonde at one stage too, so Meg didn't dare tell the blonde jokes, but that one I wouldn't have minded, so that's a good one. Okay, so this morning we're going to be talking about the sower and the seed from a different angle. So as a cognitive neuroscientist, I've studied the brain for nearly 30 years now. I still do research on the brain, and I'm still working on theories of memory and how we build memory and how we implant memory. And just last night, God was actually really revealing some amazing stuff. I was doing some more research. I'm always researching. If you see me on my phone, I'm researching. I'm reading stuff and I'm doing stuff. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you're designed to build your brain. So that's one of the first points I make, is you really do need to develop your intellect. Your brain is designed to serve you. And in serving you, you're serving Christ. So the more your brain is healthy, the more you're going to improve your relationship with God. And how do you do that? By listening to God. So as we develop our intellect, as we set up a constant dialogue with the Holy Spirit, we develop our brain, because our brain simply does the bidding of the soul. And the soul does the bidding of the spirit of man. And the spirit of man is designed to be led by the Spirit of God. So it's Holy Spirit to soul to body. Very important that we get that right. Okay, so based on that, we're going to talk this morning about the woman with the issue of blood and the sower and the seed and building memory. Now you might think, what has all that got to do with each other? Well, you're going to find out right now. So first thing I'm going to show you, the first slide, is a prayer by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. I often quote him on my Facebook. I pray because, there we go. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time. Waking and sleeping, it does not change God. It changes me. So just confirming what you were saying about praying for Paris, praying for everything, I can't stress how important it is to lead a lifestyle of prayer. And it's something that I can never say enough. Set up a constant internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit. That is a lifestyle of prayer. That is a lifestyle of worship. In the next service, I'm going to be talking about what worship, tongues, et cetera, does in your brain. But a lifestyle of prayer is not just, you know, we tend to think of prayer and worship and that kind of thing as just sitting in your prayer closet, but it's not. When you're talking to someone, and you are talking to the Holy Spirit while you're talking to someone, so that the Holy Spirit is guiding what you're saying, that is prayer. A constant dialogue is leading a lifestyle of prayer and worship. And that really does change your brain, which we'll learn about in the next service. So now I want to show you the definition of mental health. This is the World Health Organization's definition of mental health. And it says, mental health is defined as a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential. That's fantastic. We should be realizing our potential. Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about the fact that God has laid eternity in us, a divine sense of purpose. We know we're uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made. There's something you can do that no one else can do. So we all recognize and know that we have this unique gift and should be realizing our potential. But not everyone is realizing their potential. A very few, very small percentage of the world actually really realize the potential God has laid within us. And we wonder why. Because if we don't get our souls right, we won't realize our potential. So the World Health Organization, literally, they make these definitions of things, but they're literally borrowing from the Word of God. If you look at the foundational principles, let's look at the next section. They can cope with the normal stresses of life. Life has normal stresses, and stress is a good thing. Stress is actually on this side of the stage, and for those of you that haven't been here this weekend, where you see the green tree, that's God. The little tree is us made in the image of God. Our thoughts look like trees, and this is why I use a tree analogy. Thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate. Right now you are building thoughts at 400 billion actions per second. A thought is a memory. So we are wired for love because we are made in the image of God. So this over here is the love zone. So your normal natural is this zone, the love zone. The opposite zone is the fear zone. This is the opposite spiritual force. That little wiry tree represents toxic thinking, represents sin, stronghold of the enemy. It represents mental ill health. This represents mental health. Now, what we do with our mind, which is our soul, which is between our spirit man and our physical man, because we are triune being, what we do with our soul is going to determine whether we activate mental health or activate mental ill health. Research shows that when we live in this fear zone of mental ill health, we are vulnerable, we increase our vulnerability to disease, for diseases, mental, physical, emotional, and behavioral diseases and illnesses up to 75 to 98%. That's massive. So this zone brings all kinds of stuff that we don't want in our life. It's not the normal. It's not the natural. That's the natural zone. Okay, so in that zone, it's well-being, realizing potential, coping with the normal stresses of life. Stress is completely normal. When you're stressed, your heart, the blood vessels around your heart dilate, and you get increased blood flow and oxygen to your brain. You're sharper, more alert, have more wisdom, and more zoomed. You can zoom in on that thing, and especially when you are in the zone talking to the Holy Spirit, you're actually going into positive stress. Neurotransmitters flow correctly. You're functioning correctly. But when you choose wrong and you step in this zone, you then activate, you distort the reality, and it now becomes toxic stress. So you're now stepping into stage 2 and 3 of stress, which is abnormal. It's the normal gone wrong. God creates normal. We choose wrong. We take the normal. We distort the normal. Got it? So we're in mental ill health here when we are in abnormal stress. So the way that you react to a situation is going to determine whether you put yourself in positive or negative stress. Positive stress keeps you in mental health, keeps you in the love zone. Incorrect reactions put you in the mental ill health, in the toxic stress zone. So in the healthy mental health zone, your blood vessels will dilate, you'll increase oxygen and blood flow to the brain and a bunch of other great stuff that I don't have time to tell you. But when you go into toxic stress, the opposite happens. Instead of the blood vessels around your heart dilating and pumping blood and oxygen through your brain and body, they constrict. So you have less blood flow and you have less oxygen. So you set yourself up for a cardiovascular event, a stroke, or who knows what else, when you don't have sufficient oxygen and blood flowing. So what we need to realize is that our mind changes our brain. What you're doing with your mind will impact your brain functioning. So the sower and the seed is a way of disciplining ourselves. The concept of the sower and the seed is a way of disciplining ourselves to stay in mental health. You'll see in a moment. Okay, so we can work productively and fruitfully. You can in this zone, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. You can do all this in this zone. But when you're in this zone, you do all the opposite of those things. So the world recognizes the need for mental health, but the world and its scriptures confirm this. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So your soul is your mind. Your soul mind is your intellect, your will, and your emotion. Your soul, we've been learning all weekend, has one foot in the door of the spirit of man and one foot in the door of the physical of man. Your spirit, soul, and body. I stress this because if your soul, which is your mind, your soul is your mind, your soul is your mind, which is your intellect, your will, and your emotion, if they don't prosper, nothing else in your life will prosper. Okay, so we can't blame the demons on every doorknob. We can't blame everyone else. We have to look at ourselves in order for us to prosper, because you are in charge of your soul. No one else is in charge of your soul. What you need to do is make sure that you give that charge over to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so when we get born again, we are now allowing and stepping in to this zone over here, where we're saying, thanks God for my amazing free will, my amazing intellect, my amazing ability to feel all this fantastic stuff, but I really want my physical zone to function like it should, and I really want to develop my spirit man, my intuition and my conscience and my communion. Therefore, please take back this free will. Please sit on the throne of my life and guide my soul so my soul may prosper, so that I am in mental health. That's a really logical prayer, isn't it? Because when we operate in that zone, we're going to do the right thing and you will feel great. Okay, so just a few facts to show how this is not the case. If you look at the bottom statement there, mental ill health is the worst it's ever been in the history of mankind. Now, with the advances in neuroscience is my field, we've gone backwards in terms of mental health. Because what has happened is, as we've learned more about the brain, we've realized more that we don't know about the brain. But what they've done is they've applied neuroscience into the physical, and they've started taking the mind realm, which is separate from the brain. The mind is not the same as the brain. The mind is over and above the brain. The brain simply reflects what is going on in the mind. And in the world currently today, the physical rules of the brain and the body are being applied to the mind, and they have different rules. The spirit world has a different rule to the soul, to different rules to the physical. God has designed them differently. And we see this in reflected in science in the fields of quantum physics and classical physics, whereas classical physics deals with things that you can see and that don't move too fast, which applies very much to the physical realm. Quantum physics deals with things that are too small, that are very, very small and move too fast. And they follow all kinds of weird laws, and they're very aligned with scripture. So God's giving us science and revealing His glory and His magnificence through science to help us start, to help us to start understanding these truths and to help us to stay in mental health. Yes, science should be in the church because science is a tangible way of helping us stay in mental health. So all the little things that I teach, which are kind of big things, these are all ways and analogies of science that will help us not only admire God, but help us to stay in mental health. The church needs to stay in mental health. Now, you can be having issues in your life, but if you are learning to rejoice despite the circumstances, you are in mental health. Okay, so when you're not rejoicing despite the circumstances, you're living in this zone. And we get very selfish in this zone. Everyone's got to listen to our problems. We get very consumed in this zone and very chaotic, but we don't have to stay there. Okay, so just a few things. Children as young as 6 months are being prescribed as psychotic and being put on antipsychotics. That is child abuse. Because those medications do not change, fix a chemical imbalance. The chemical imbalance theory that's thrown out there, which has never been a theory, never been a fact. It has always been a supposition. It's never been proven. Even Harvard psychiatrists for the last 25 years, Stanford, the top psychiatrists in the world, across the world, have said anyone who understands anything about mental health will not say that there's a chemical imbalance theory. It's incorrect, and it has been a marketing ploy that has been planned since the mid-80s when Prozac was released. It's been planned to be put through the environment, so as like a little, literally as propaganda, to convince you that you are a biological automaton and a disease broken one at that. So if you're battling with the normal reactions of life, what they are doing is they're taking the normal reactions of life, because life can be tough, and these abnormal reactions of life, because those are the normal, these are the abnormal, they're taking our human reactions and they are medicalizing misery. They are pathologizing reactions to life. And that's not the way to do it. You can't say, hey, you've got this issue and it's because you have a brain disease. You're a faulty, broken mechanism and therefore you need medication the rest of your life. The medication is not putting back what was missing. It is actually changing neurological structure completely. And that is the scientific facts. And unfortunately, I wish I had lots more time to teach you this, but I have a 12-part season 2 of my TV shows coming out in January where I teach this in depth. In the meantime, if you want to investigate this further, I have tons of stuff on my webpage. I have blogs. I have tons of references to help you understand this standpoint, because it's a huge split in the world of science, medicine, and the church about medication. So here's a very simple way of understanding, so I can move into the rest of the teaching, because this is very important that we don't deny our issues. When we medicalize misery, what we are doing is we are suppressing and denying and blunting our emotions and going into what we call scientifically medication spellbinding, where we think we're improving because we can't feel the pain, but actually we're getting worse. The brain will structurally change in an abnormal way with medication. So the good news is when you stop the medication, it does revert back. I have to just make a side note here, a disclaimer. Do not stop your medication cold turkey, because your brain has changed according to the medication. Whatever you put in your mouth, whatever you think about, is changing your brain. So whatever comes in, 80% of the signal is what you're thinking about, 20% is what you put in your mouth. So food, medication, etc. So if you're on medication and you didn't know any better, God's not going to beat you over the head. You didn't know. You trusted your doctors. God will give all the grace and love and mercy for you. What I'm here to do is to start sharing with you and encouraging you to investigate further. There are doctors that help with withdrawal. You do need to work with someone. You can't just stop cold turkey, because the changes have occurred in your brain from the first tablet that you've taken, and it takes 3 weeks and your brain has completely changed. So when you come off, you generally go through these 3 week cycles where your body goes through withdrawal. And one of the hardest things is that you suddenly now have to face what you went on for in the first place, and in addition you have extra neurological issues that are now making you feel worse. And most people land up on multiple medications. So that is not the way to manage mental ill health. The way to manage mental ill health is to recognize you are not a biological diseased automaton. It is a terrible stigma to say to someone, someone, hey, you are X because you have a broken brain or you have defective genes. That's terrible. God made you in His image. You are perfect. You made wrong decisions. You reacted incorrectly. You experienced trauma or a whole bunch of the above, and that resulted in changes in your brain, chaos in your brain, because your brain is not designed to handle toxic thinking or toxic trauma or anything. So we react, we manifest with all these disorders, and they get labeled. Okay, so these are symptoms of a mind that is trying to regain control. So read those symptoms that they now label with all these things like bipolar, OCD, etc., and see those as you gripping out or reaching out into the world to try and create order back in your mind. And this is where the minute that we start taking responsibility for our thought life, start reaching out and loving each other and getting their community of the church involved, we can start regaining that health. Okay, so you're not a biological automaton. You're a brilliant, intelligent human being, and it doesn't matter what you have been through in your life, when you face it in the arms of God, in the loving support of a community, you can change your brain and bring mental health back. Okay, so now that takes time to sow seed. And so the next thing, now we're going to look at Mark. Now we're going to link this in to Mark 5:28, verse 34, with the woman with the issue of blood. I'm just going to pick up on a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to start showing you how we get mental health versus mental ill health. Now, if you look at this, you'll see I've emphasized thought. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Because she thought, that's a mind action. Okay, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, that is profound. She didn't just decide on the spur of the moment, see a Twitter feed of 2 seconds, Jesus is in town, oh, I think I'll go and get healed. It wasn't a short little thing like that. This woman grew up in the faith. This woman knew God was who he said he was. She understood healing. How do we know? For 12 years, you know the whole story. She was bleeding and she persisted and used all her money. At that stage, they were separated if they were bleeding for 5 to 7 days every month. But this woman for 12 years had been separated. Research shows that isolation is very bad for your brain and your physical being. So she was already in all kinds of pain, trauma. If she was married, probably divorced by now. She was separated, isolated, on her own, but still she persisted. What kept her going? Her thoughts, her soul was still keeping her going, because as she grew up, she had implanted deep down in the depths of who she was, the truth about God. So that depth that she had built, that implanted word, as she listened to in the temple, as she grew up learning about God, she had built a whole lot of healthy trees, which kept her sustained through her pain, which kept her sustained through her isolation, which kept her desperately searching to get out of physical health, which definitely would have caused ill health, which would have definitely caused mental issues, because she was alone, rejected, isolated, divorced, separated, whatever it is. That isn't a nice state to be in. Go and be sick for 12 years, bleeding in pain, and everyone telling you that you're a pariah. You won't feel very happy. But this woman could have just given up and died, and she didn't. She pushed through. She pushed through. Why? Because she had a foundation. She had thoughts that she had implanted. So those thoughts enabled her to recognize her miracle, which is on this side of the stage, to recognize when she heard that Jesus was coming to town today. She knew from what she had implanted and her desperation, God met her at that place, and she knew that Jesus was the answer. And she didn't need to go and get therapy. She didn't need him to look at her and lay on hands. She didn't need 6 months of intervention. She didn't need hours and hours of, listen to my problem. All she did was say, all I have to do is touch him. That's the kind of depth of thinking that she had planted inside of her brain. And when she did touch him, she was healed. And then we know that Jesus stopped her and he said, who touched me? And she could have been stoned to death, because you weren't supposed to touch anyone in that state. That was one of the things that could have happened to her. And as she bravely threw the veil off her face and owned up to the fact that she was the one who touched him, she was ready to die. She was ready to take whatever punishment, because she was not allowed to touch the hem of a man's garment, let alone be in a crowd. And that, based on that fact, that showed you that she had implanted deeply enough. She was solid in her thoughts. She had a foundation. So when, and God recognized that, he saw that, he sees your foundation, he sees where your mental health has been, he sees where you have been building your thoughts, and he will meet you at your need. Your capacity to access the goodness of God, I've been saying all weekend, is based on the thoughts that you are implanting. And this side, those thoughts that you're implanting are filled with wisdom. And when you have wisdom, you will recognize your miracle. miracle. You will reach out and get your miracle, and God will turn around to you and say, your faith has healed you. Your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And it doesn't matter about the time, because God is over and above the time, because the substance and the faith are here. The substance and the evidence are here. And our faith will activate. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no other way. If you're immersing yourself in mental ill health and all the things that can go wrong in your life, this is what will not sustain you. This is what will break you, but this is what will sustain you. So let's now have track this over to being, what kind of listener are you? So let's have a look at the sower and the seed. When anyone hears, Matthew 13:18-19, I'm reading from the Message version. When anyone hears the news of the kingdom of God and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface, and so the evil one comes along, plucks it right out of the person's heart. This is the seed that the farmer scatters on the road. There are multiple analogies there. So if you look at the summary of that, this is the seed scattered on the road. So seed scattered, bird taking it away, plucking it out of your heart. All these analogies imply you didn't really listen. So yeah, I'm speaking words, and you can sort of listen to me, or you can walk out of here and never think about this information again. That's your choice. And that's what this analogy is saying. This is what listener type one is saying. And let's have a look in the brain. This is a slice through the brain. This is what we look like in the morning before we put our makeup on and do our hair and put our clothes on and all that stuff. There's you hanging out of your head. We receive the contact from the external world through the five senses. It goes into your brain. Mind in action begins. In other words, your soul starts processing through your intellect, will, and emotions, and you start making choices, and that becomes physical structures in your brain. We've been learning about that this weekend, so please get the material or get the DVDs or whatever to catch up. So basically, thoughts are real. Things, so it goes in your brain. So what I am telling you now is going in your brain as a quantum signal. Right now at 400 billion actions per second, you are turning my signals of my words and what you're seeing on the screen into temporary memories made out of protein inside your brain. And you also have a whole lot of information flowing through the middle structure. Can I just track with me here? There's a blue thing. Can you see there's a green thing. Look at the green thing. Okay, can you see the green thing's got kind of an orange tube coming out of it? Can you see that? Okay, it's called the hippocampus. That hippocampus basically is where my information has, it's come through the doorway into the brain, and it's flowing through there from the back of the brain to the front of the brain for 24 to 48 hours. So everything I'm saying to you now will be flowing through there as a stream of electromagnetic and quantum energy flowing from the back to the front. You will also build, as I've been saying, a temporary memory of this information. So a tree-like structure is building out of protein in your brain at the moment with temporary proteins. Okay, temporary. After 48 hours, if you do nothing with this information, it simply will go out of the hippocampus and convert, all energy is conserved. So the heat energy, that energy with that information becomes heat energy. So kinetic energy becomes heat energy, and it just converts. So in other words, my words that are scattered out there, if you don't do something, they become hot air. So when your pastors preach on a Sunday and you don't process it, by Monday, it's hot air. I mean, that's bad news. Okay, so now your pastor's going to make sure that you don't turn that into hot air. Okay, but you have to, like, do some work. Okay, so basically, it'll just go out. So now what we've got to do, let's look at listener type 2. Listener type 2, Matthew 13:20-21. The seed cast in the gravel. So the first one, it's just scattered. It just goes in the hippocampus, and it just forms this temporary memory. The seed that's cast in gravel goes a little bit deeper. This is the person who hears instantly and responds with enthusiasm. Amazing message. I'm going to do this. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to change. I'm going to live in mental health. This is incredible. Goosebumps, praying, worshiping. And it's genuine. And it's intentional. And your heart is behind this whole thing. And you feel the emotion. And you feel the goosebumps. Do you know what those are? Okay, you feel the hairs rising on the back, whatever. You get all this physical stuff because God has given us emotions to color our life and also to activate memory formation and to help us experience the beauty of this amazing life that He has given us. We are so blessed to be alive. When you react like that, when you have that attitude of, well, maybe I couldn't sleep last night, or maybe someone had a fight with you yesterday, or maybe someone sent you an ugly email, the way you react to that situation will determine if you're in stress, where stage one in mental health, or stress stage two. And mental ill health. You can turn everything negative around by stepping here and saying, oh, well, let me pray for that person who sent me the email. Oh, well, maybe God woke me up to do something, or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? The way you react will determine how you build your thoughts and how you implant them. So the person who's a type 2 listener, it gets a little deeper. The emotion pushes it a little deeper. They go beyond the 24 to 48 hours. Let's look at the summary. This is the seed cast in the gravel. Heart responds with enthusiasm, but there's no character. So when the emotions wear off, which will happen on day 3 and day 4, you have a whole recycling of neurotransmitters. So now the enthusiasm or the excitement you felt on Saturday at conference is now Monday. It's gone when you're at work and you're in the midst of life again. And you suddenly think, well, maybe that wasn't real. I can't feel anything. Well, this is where faith steps in. This is where God is saying, listen, I gave you the super boost on day 1 and day 2. And now day 3 and day 4, that's how he's designed our brain. That's how the cycle, how the neurotransmitters recycle. So now you're not going to feel that. So if you are looking to feel that, it's shallow thinking. You don't have soil of character. You have to push through when you can't feel anymore. You have to stand when you can't feel anymore. If you are constantly looking for the next fix and going to the next conference and the next high and the next gold dust and the next whatever, you are never going to build any soil of character. Soil of character builds when you can push through when you can't feel, when you don't feel like it, when you think that everything is going wrong and you still say, I choose to react correctly. I choose to rejoice despite the circumstances. I choose to see my blood vessels dilating in my heart so oxygen pumps to my brain. You may not say that, but anyway, now you can. Okay, so you just learned something too. That is listener type 2. That is an amazing, you want to get beyond the emotions. Let's see what happens to listener type 2. So the information goes in the brain. There you are hanging out of your head. Hippocampus is activated with a stream of information. You build a temporary memory. There's green, there's pink. Can you see green and pink? On the outside you see brown with like tree-like things. Can you all see that? That's where your memories are forming, in the outside of the cortex. These tree things are forming on the outside. We call that the gray matter. You grow branches called dendrites. The girls learned about that this weekend. Okay, so here's a neuron. Your brain is made up of 100 billion neurons. And these neurons, basically at the tops of the neurons, you see the trees. And those basically are what you are adding on. You are building dendrites right now. At the moment, you've probably built close to 150 dendrites of the information that I've already given you. So you've already grown about 150 branches, which is pretty good. Okay, so that's happen pretty fast. Okay, but it'll all become hot air if you just listener type 1. It'll also become hot air if you stay listener type 2. Listener type 2 differs from listener type 1 in that they tend to go beyond the 48 hours. The enthusiasm carries them around to about day 3 and day 4. On day 3, we have amazing things happening inside those purple things which are called microtubules, of which we have about 10 million per neuron. Inside those microtubules, you get a special type of very important protein, which is actually where our memories get imprinted. So inside those purple tubes, you get something called tubulin, which looks like train tracks or like grids. And on day 3, you release a group of proteins, and the proteins the girls learned this weekend are called CAMK2 molecules. There's a whole bunch, but the main one is called CAMK2 molecule. And this CAMK2 molecule is vital in turning you from a listener type 1 into a listener type 4, because there's 4 types of listeners in this particular parable. Okay, so on day three, this CAMK2 molecule starts walking and it looks like a nano poodle. So you saw the image yesterday of the poodle. So you want poodles to start walking. As the poodles start walking, amazing things start happening in your brain, and you start actually you are preparing to turn what is a short-term memory, a thought that will just disappear, into something more permanent. But if you don't push through daily for 7 minutes a day minimum thinking about this, it's a daily thing, renewing of the mind, building the kind of thoughts that woman with the issue of blood built. Building the kind of thoughts that keep you grounded in this side. The implanted word of God will save your soul, James 1:21. That kind of thinking takes more than 3 days. It takes more than 4 days. In fact, listener type 2 generally gets to about day 7. And on day 7, if we look back at the close-up of the neuron, you'll see there's a little red circle, and in the red circle you'll see 3 bumps, and the girls learned yesterday morning that on day 7, those little bumps start changing. The bumps are on these branches. If you look at any kind of plant, you'll see that where the leaves grow out, they're like little nodes or bumps on the branches. I'm sure you've seen that. Same thing happens in your brain. Your dendrites are these branches, and they have little spines. And as these spines, as you get to day 3, day 7, the spine, the work that's happening on the inside, listen to this, produces fruit on the outside. So on day 7, so this happens in your life. As you push through, you'll start being really different on day 7. Your behaviors, your thoughts, your words will manifest differently. And that's because the kind of memory that you are building is starting to get some substance to it. It's starting to get implanted. So the listener type 2 actually gets bumps on the outside. So by day 7, when you basically walk that poodle, and that poodle is inside the little microtubule, that purple thing, it's imprinting this memory through quantum action inside these little protein structures called tubulin that look like railway tracks. So these little poodles are building railway tracks. And as by day 7, they have built enough to cause the outside to grow a bump. Now, if you stop at that point, the poodle dies. The train track goes away, converts into nothing, and all your work for that week has now gone away. What a waste. That's where the soil of character was not deep enough. So when the emotions wear off between day 3 and day 7, you give up. Okay? So that, well, you don't. Everyone else does. Okay, so now we go to the next type listener, which is the seed cast in the weeds. That's the person who hears the kingdom news. But the weeds of, and they get quite far. They get beyond day 7. They get to about day 14. But the weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and more and wanting everything under the sun, strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. These are the people that get beyond the 24 to 48 hours. They get the poodles walking. They actually get, let's have a look at the little red circle on the neuron, close-up of the neuron again. There's the summary of listener type 3. They hear, but they worry. It strangles and dies. That's listener type 3. Listener type 3 gets the poodles walking, gets bumps growing. They even get to around about day 14. They normally get 2 weeks into the process. And on day 14, the little bump turns into a lollipop shape. That's fantastic. That means change is happening internally. You're starting to grow the kinds of thoughts that you're going to need to sustain you through life, to rejoice despite the circumstances, to draw on that stuff. But then you start worrying. Oh, this is financial. This about the kids. This about that. And you're getting whatever. And that strangles and dies. The worry is the spirit of fear that comes in, and you start focusing on that. So the good stuff now is killed by that. Literally becomes heat energy. All that 14 days of work disappears out of your brain. What a waste. Okay, so then listener type 4 is the seed cast on good earth, and I'm almost done, is the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. That is listener type 4. The seed cast on good earth. Is your earth mental health good earth? You're only going to have good health, mental health, when you live in this zone, which is your normal. This is not normal. It is not normal to say, oh, I'm not perfect. Oh, I've just got a bit of this or a bit of sin, a bit of that. It's okay. It's not okay. This is not okay. You are made in the image of God. You are wired for love. This is okay. And this is a choice to connect with the Holy Spirit all the time. This is the only place you will find mental health. You will never drag all thoughts into captivity. You've got to bring all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. This is where we get mental health. And it comes through you finding out who God is, becoming a listener type 4, learning to rejoice despite the circumstances, planting deep so that you get, let's have a look at the close-up of the neuron again, that you actually build mushrooms on your little dendrites. So by day 21, when you've been walking your poodles daily, this is not a now and then walk. This is a daily, rigorous, disciplined renewing of the mind. It's called neuroplasticity in science. Neuro means brain, plastic means to change. Wherever you direct your attention, you will create change in your brain. So as you are directing attention here and sowing the God's perspective linked to the word on your life, you will then, and you pursue it day after day. By day 21, you would have grown mushroom-shaped bumps on your dendrites. And when you do that, you have implanted the kind of thinking that you need to think in order to be able to survive and rejoice despite the circumstances. You will only get there when you are desperate. When you are desperate, if you can please stand up for me, I'm just going to quickly pray in 30 seconds for you. I'm going to pray that you become desperate, that you become so desperate that you turn into listener type 4. I'm going to pray that you get so serious about the Word of God and about getting God's perspective. I'm not just talking about memorizing the Word of God. I am talking about memorizing the Word of God, which you have to. I'm talking about reading the Word, memorizing the Word, talking to the Holy Spirit all the time, coming to church, applying the principles. When you don't feel like it, stepping in the zone and saying, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Building the kind of thoughts that the woman with the issue of blood did. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the words that I have spoken today, which come directly from you, will touch each person's heart, that they will not just be listener type one, that these will not just be words that are scattered and words that land in the gravel, and that as the emotions wear off, they go away, that they are not going to be just listener type two, that they're not going to just be listener type three, where they get to day 14 more or less, and then the worries of life choke out this good information of the word and of your perspective on how they should handle life and this information. And I pray that they're going to get beyond that to listener type four, where they implant deeply, so that as they go through the sorrows of life, as they grow through the things that shape their character, as they go through life, they will learn to rejoice despite the circumstances. Lord, we stand collectively and we reach out our hands to you and we say, Lord, we are desperate like that woman with the issue of blood, to build a relationship with you that is implanted deeply inside of us, so that we have mental health, that we will pray without ceasing like C.S. Lewis does, that not you will change, but that we will change, that we will become listener type four. And Lord, help us that when people speak negative toxic stuff over our lives, that we become listener type one. So when people say negative stuff, when we read negative stuff, when we focus on, when we hear negative things, that we don't let those penetrate deep inside our spirit, as the terminology is used. So don't take that toxic stuff and become a listener type four with toxic stuff. Anything toxic must be a listener type one. Get it out of your brain within 24 to 48 hours. Turn it into heat energy. Perfect love casts out fear. Father, I pray that this will sink down deeply, and I pray that you would bless your people as they reach out their hands in desperation for a touch from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that great? All right. Well, just hold steady for a moment. They have a book table in the lobby with all kinds of resources that you're going to want to make yourself available to. We're going to pray here in a moment and dismiss the service. And for those of you that need to leave, absolutely, God bless you. And there will be people coming from the 11 o'clock group here, so we're going to need to squish in and make as much room as possible, but we are going to take the break that we would normally between services to do that. It is something that Dr. Leaf said that really blessed me there, even in her prayer. I never considered this before, but you know, the fact that we have the capacity to choose what kind of soil we want to be, and there's good and there's a bad on that. For good, when the devil speaks something, you have the ability to let that thing die. But how many times do we take hold of that and let that take root? You know, so sometimes you don't realize that the reason you're made the way you are, God did make us perfect. You know, and we think, what's wrong with me? I'm this type of soil. And we have the choice. So when the things of God come into our heart, we have the choice to not be the shallow person, but to make it deep. We have the responsibility to make it deep. But we also have the capacity to let those negative things be shallow, and within 24 hours, they're gone. I love that. And so even in that prayer, I was just like, I wanted to like take my phone and be like typing, but my hands were up and it was just kind of like, you know, I didn't know how to do it, you know? So tell you what, I'm totally going to preach that. So you might as well just get ready, because that was powerful. That was so good. That was so good. You know, but I just love what the Holy Spirit's been doing in the church over the last few weeks. And what I pick up, if you've been around in the kind of the momentum that God's building in the church, it's what I feel in my heart or sense is this, is God really wants our lives to finally take, and I love the word Dr. Leaf uses, these quantum leaps into the next season of our lives. And God's giving us the real responsibility and the pathway to do it. And so if you really want your life to improve and to grow and to get unstuck, and you really want to get in, a few weeks ago I asked you, how many of you want to do something great with your life before you die, and to do something great with God? And almost all of you raised your hand. And God is now giving us ways. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And so it moves from being wishful thinking into, how's that actually going to happen? And so I just see God answering the cry. These things are the cry of your heart coming to pass, saying, God, how am I really going to become? How am I really going to change? How are things really going to get different? And the Lord, not just with Dr. Leaf, but our other speakers and everything in the women's conference and just what God's doing in general, I just sense God answering our prayers to make us all into what we've been crying out for Him to make us. And God saying, yes, But there is responsibility. It's not just a magical poof on the head. There's something that we have to do in response. And so I just want you to pick up on the momentum and the leading of the Spirit in this. So we're going to pray. Altar workers, if you'll come up to the front, we're going to be available for those who want a prayer for healing or want prayer of any sort. People might have come from other cities and things. They've traveled a long way to get prayer for healing, be filled with the Spirit, get your whole heart right with the Lord. We want to be available to you at the end of the service. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss officially. If you go home, if you end up going home, you can flip on the live stream, and you can hear Dr. Leaf in the third session from your house as well, and that would be absolutely appropriate as well. But when we do get started again, we're going to do worship, same songs we did before, so enjoy them again. Because again, for our 11 o'clock service, many people who, this will be their first worship service of the weekend. And you know what I love about when we sing the Holy Song? I could tell you've been listening to your CDs. I love that. Because you started singing it like you were owning it, you know? I love that. So that's cool. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now we give you praise and we give you thanks. And what we sense, Holy Spirit, is how much you really are for us and how much you really love us. And you're answering our prayers. We have prayed, God, use us, change us, send us, impact our lives, do something with us, get us out of this valley of the shadow of death we've been in. Get us out of this season that we've been circling this mountain for so long. And God, you've heard our prayers, you've heard our cry. And Lord, this is one weekend in a part and process that you're doing. It's not just this weekend. It's everything you've been doing leading up to, and I believe you'll continue. But what I see is you saying yes. Yes, I see your heart, I see your hand, I see your Spirit, and I'm bringing you into your fullness. And God, we just say yes to you. We say we will do what you put in our heart to do. We take responsibility, not to be spectators, but to be involved, to renew our mind, to pray, to read the Word, to take time to acknowledge bad thoughts and right thoughts, and to choose that which is right, to take up our cross and to choose the will of God over the will of our flesh. And Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you praise because you are so loving and you are so full of grace, and we trust you and we are so grateful that we get the privilege of being in your family. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.